This is Free Talk Live. You can dial in and bring up whatever you want. Toll free, 800-259-9231. That is the SACL CAI toll free line. It's Ian here with you.
And Dale.
And Mark.
And you can join us. All the features on the site there are completely free, so enjoy those. Again, freetalklive.com. Your calls about anything. Last hour we talked about how the DEA, despite the Attorney General actually, or Attorney General rather, getting out and declaring that the federal raids on marijuana facilities will end under the Obama administration. We are stopping these federal raids unless they are violating state law as well. And that was the tag that he added on to his statement. And now the raids are continuing with the DEA claiming, well, first and foremost, you can't see our warrant because all of the documents in this case are completely sealed. We're not talking to the media, but we will say this. We believe that the state law has been violated. So therefore, we are A-OK and raiding this business, this medical marijuana facility, confiscating all their plants and stealing all their money. And the story didn't say anything about an arrest. So it's just like their standard. Right. It's their standard mode of operation. They go in with their guns. They point them at people who are completely harmless and peaceful. These people have been in business
steal
for 5 years.
Stuff, and then don't ask questions.
Yep. And this and the documents are sealed. And good luck, you know, getting your stuff back.
They have a monopoly on crime.
So that's what's happening. And you guys were asking, well, what about the other states? What about the, you know, the 12 other states that have medical marijuana laws? What are their rules? Well, we looked at Montana during the break just to take a look-see at what else is out there. And indeed, there are no marijuana distribution facilities in Montana. There are caregivers, which can mean that if, for instance, Mark, if you are crippled to the point where you couldn't even grow a plant, like actually growing a marijuana plant would be too much work for you. You would probably want to hire a caregiver to do that work for you, to essentially grow the marijuana for you. You would then, I guess, get it from them. I don't know if they could be compensated or not. I didn't read all the rules, but essentially that's
caregivers
how it works.
Caregivers are compensated generally.
Okay. That, yeah, it would make sense. But that's basically how it works. So the caregiver can grow no more than six plants. So one caregiver can only give care to a handful of patients at the most.
What you have to look at is that the laws are that law is written poorly, too, because generally when you when you grow marijuana, you grow, in a grow operation, you'd grow small, straight plants in get them at the right time, get big old buds out of them. Instead, now what these caregivers are incentivized to do is to grow big, giant plants because they can, instead of growing a bunch of little ones that will make a better yield, have a better crop and, more quality stuff, they'll have these giant plants that give them, crappier weed.
I've heard that it doesn't matter how high you grow the plants. I've heard that the same amount of weed grows on them. I don't know if it's true or not. But.
All I'm going by is some experts I've talked to.
Right.
That's all I can say.
Okay. So let's talk to an expert. Matt Simon is on the line. He is from New Hampshire Coalition for Common Sense, the group that has been Johnny on the spot up here in New Hampshire as far as getting the drug laws changed here. And you've actually had just quite a recent success. Yesterday, the medical marijuana bill that the State House was looking at passed with flying colors. And it's my understanding, Matt, that that's the first time anything like that's ever happened in New Hampshire.
First time ever, Ian. Good evening. How's it going, guys?
Hey. Always nice to talk to you, Matt. That's great. Now, didn't something pass like a year ago, like some sort of decrim? What was it? Didn't something else get a step in the right direction before?
Yeah, last year the House passed HB 1623, which was a very pretty weak decrim bill. It just reduced the penalty for possession across the board for possessing less than a quarter of an ounce after it went through committee. So that went through the House, and that shocked everybody. But yesterday's vote was, really overwhelming, and medical marijuana is a totally different issue. So we had to change gears this year, but 96 vote margin yesterday. So we're looking to become hopefully the 14th state with the medical marijuana law.
Now, that's pretty optimistic. Didn't the governor essentially say he was going to veto any kind of medical marijuana, any marijuana-related legislation? What makes you so optimistic that, this is going to make it through the Senate, where the decrim bill died last year, as I understand it, and if it makes it through the Senate, actually make it through this governor that is pledged to veto it?
I can't guarantee anything, but the governor hasn't pledged to veto this. He pledged to veto. No, the decrim bill last year, he pledged to veto right away.
Oh.
This bill, he has, quote, concerns about, end quote, and he's concerned about the, quote, conflict with federal law, end quote, which there isn't one, and I can talk more about that if you want. But you know, he's gonna talk to the medical community and talk to the law enforcement community and talk to legislators before he makes up his mind. So we're confident that he's gonna see that the smart political decision is not to block this, that there's so much support that it would be silly for him not to go along with it.
The vote was overwhelming. What was it, 268 to 100, something like that?
Not quite that good. 234 to 138.
Still, that's tremendous. I mean, it's nearly a 100-vote lead there.
I'm sorry, Matt, you'd said that in some article of yours that I read somewhere, and I've read quite a few of them, and I couldn't tell you where I read it, that there's some differences in the bill that that's going on in New Hampshire versus the bills in the rest of the United States, and we were sort of just talking about that last hour, and I'm just wondering, what are some of the differences?
Well, the main difference, and most people think of California as the standard medical marijuana example.
Right, we were talking about.
But it's not the standard example. It's the exception from a policy perspective. It was a very short ballot initiative that passed in 96. It wasn't really thought through how marijuana was going to be grown and distributed and all these sorts of things. So it was left to counties to come up with their own policy. They all came up with different policies. California is the only place where you have people growing marijuana for profit, selling it for profit, doing it legally under state law, and that's what attracts the federal attention. A patient growing six plants in a closet has never been raided by the federal government that I'm aware of. They don't focus on that. They focus on things where there's at least some potential where they can say there's trafficking. So there's never been any threat to states like Vermont and Maine and Rhode Island of federal raids coming in and busting patients who have six plants in their closet.
Okay. So how is New Hampshire different?
Different from what? From the other? Well,
yeah,
they're
exactly.
All a little bit different. The plant limits, the qualifying conditions, each state legislature insists on writing its laws a little bit differently. And, you know, the Health and Human Services Committee this year, the subcommittee went through our bill line by line and, you know, change this, change that, reworded this, took this out, you know. So it's not a perfect bill by any stretch of the imagination, but it will definitely protect some of the people who are, you know, just some of the most vulnerable members of our society who are victims of this terrible policy. And
so is it very specific in that it only allows treatment marijuana to be used for specific diseases, or is it going to be something where I could go and have a little bit of eye pressure and get some marijuana to solve that?
No, it's not going to work out that way for you, probably. I mean, it's going to be pretty strictly limited to a list of serious illnesses, and that would include severe pain that isn't, you know, adequately treated by other stuff, but it won't include things like anxiety or insomnia or things like that, which are included in California.
So this is a bill that is very specific in the areas that it affects. It's not leaving things up to doctors to make the determination. They still could not say, well, I believe that marijuana will benefit my patient, therefore I'm prescribing it. That's not going to be possible.
Not exactly, no. Doctors will have to operate within the parameters of the bill, and that's, you know, I've never believed it's a good idea to have a loosely written medical marijuana policy where just anybody can sign up to be a patient, because, you know, my view is that people who smoke marijuana are not necessarily sick and are not criminals, so, you know, I have a problem with saying every marijuana smoker in America is sick and should sign up for a card. We need to talk about, you know, the other aspects of marijuana policy. But if it's going to take 5 or 10 or 20 years to get decrim and to get possibly legalization through, we got to get these damn multiple sclerosis patients and AIDS patients off the friggin' battlefield. And that's all this is about, really.
I'm with you.
Well, it's a step in the right direction, and hopefully it will end up being successful. What's the next step in the process here? It's passed the House, so obviously the Senate has to take a look at this. When's that happening? What's going on with that?
Hasn't been scheduled yet, but sometime in April or May, we'll have another committee hearing in the Senate. And, you know, we think it'll go pretty well.
Now, in last hour, we were talking about what was going on in California, and I guess, so the dispensaries only exist in California, and they're only raiding dispensaries there because they're such big targets?
That's basically it, but there are a few dispensaries in other states, but they're non-profit, and they're pretty tightly regulated in how they're able to operate. It's totally different.
NHCommonSense.org is your website. Matt, thanks for being on the show. As always, good hearing from you. More coming up. Free Talk Live.
You're listening to the Midas Resources Minute.
We have been warning you that many insurance companies will go bankrupt unless the government steps in to save them. The stock of almost every company has been falling, and some severely. If you have cash values in your life policies or annuities, you might cash them out and put the proceeds in gold and silver coins and shares. For those who have to have insurance, use pure insurance, term insurance, also known as mortgage insurance.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
It will cost $500 billion before the bailout is completed. They were insuring mortgage-backed securities and other debt against default. Taxpayers have already supplied $17 billion. There is no question AIG has become a bottomless pit, and it is illegal and unfair for American taxpayers to foot those bills. Essentially, AIG is holding the government at gunpoint. You either pay the bill or the system collapses.
For a free copy of the International Forecaster, call 877-479-8178 or go to theinternationalforecaster.com. That's 877-479-8178.
It's no secret that Genesis Communications Network depends on listeners like you. Now you can do even more to hear Genesis shows in your area. Simply call your local radio stations and tell them about your favorite GCN programs. It's easy. Log on to GCNlive.com or call us toll free, 877-807-4048. Make a difference. Call your local stations and contact us through affiliate relations at GCNlive.com or call 877-807-4048. Call today.
How would you like to finally be debt-free without paying another cent to creditors and not have to file bankruptcy? DebtCrisisSolutions.com can help free you from the debt trap. This is not a debt settlement program which has tax consequences or debt consolidation. With our program, there are no more payments to creditors or collectors. We will help restore your credit history, protect your property, prevent paycheck garnishments, and preserve your bank account. We also provide mortgage modification services which can lower your mortgage payments without refinancing. If you're facing foreclosure or are in the foreclosure process, we can help. Finally, proven debt solutions that work for the people. Become debt-free in 90 days. Doing nothing doesn't make the debt go away. Call Debt Crisis Solutions today and speak to an advisor absolutely free. Call 718-615-0123. That's 718-615-0123. Or visit them online at DebtCrisisSolutions.com. That's DebtCrisisSolutions.com today.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com or call us at 989-637-4179. That's 989-637-4179. Be a part of the revolution today.
This is Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231. And get interactive at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live. It's your show. You can dial in and bring up anything. 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. And it's Ian here with you.
And Dale.
And Mark.
And you can join us online at freetalklive.com. All the features are completely free, so enjoy those on us, including the wiki with over 1,800 pages created by listeners just like you. Head over to wiki.freetalklive.com, and you can edit virtually anything you see there. It's like the listener editable version of our website at wiki.freetalklive.com. From creating old and new media to political action to civil disobedience and market-based activism, you'll find more pro-liberty activism than you ever imagined possible when you move to New Hampshire as part of the Free State Project. Learn more at freestateproject.org. That's freestateproject.org. And it really is getting pretty exciting, isn't it, Dale? I mean,
oh, yeah.
You were there at the recent Social Sundays where we had over 30 people, some people say 32 people showed up for what is essentially a social gathering.
So, that we have every week.
It's
a weekly thing.
It's
getting
consistent.
To be almost on scale with Taproom Tuesdays in Manchester, which
right.
is quite a bit bigger city. So.
Manchester is four times the population, plus Manchester is surrounded by other population centers. It's not far from Nashua and Concord, and so it's not a big deal for people in those areas to come out to a weekly hangout. But it's a little bit more of a drive for people to come out to Keene. And people are showing up. People are excited about being here. And the activism is really coming together. There's more of it happening in various different areas. And there's just so much to choose from. If what you want to do is do politics, man, there's a lot of that going on. If you want to do non-cooperation and civil disobedience, you'll find a tremendous amount of support for that here. If you want to create media, that's available here too as well. And if there's something I haven't thought of or that you want to do, you can do it. There are people that will get behind it here. Like our guy that called earlier from Kentucky, Jimmy, he's got the IRS going after him down there, and his wife doesn't even support, a girlfriend or wife, don't recall which it was, but his significant other does not support him in that. So he must really feel like he's all alone. I mean, he's calling us, but how many people does he have in his area that'll back him up in standing up against the IRS? Probably none.
Seems like such a fundamental thing that you would want in your friends and loved ones, and even especially in a spouse, is to take your side against the thugs. You know,
you'd think
me or the thugs. You would think that would be a sort of a key factor.
But the thugs are just that intimidating, Dale. That people are so frightened of the thugs that they don't want to stick their head above the water. They don't want to be seen even associating with somebody that's sticking their head above water. But that's different here in New Hampshire. There are a lot of people that are willing to come to your aid to try to help out with whatever they can. In fact, that there's been a fund that's been set up specifically for that purpose, the CD Evolution Fund at cdevolution.org, to back people up that are engaging in non-cooperation with the state. And I was just thinking, you know, how would that situation be different with Jimmy, who called earlier about the IRS coming and taping an envelope full of information and threats to his front door, basically saying, hey, pay up or else. How that could have played out differently here in New Hampshire. I mean, should the individual who was being the victim of the IRS in that case want to do something about it instead of just stay quiet and try to remain anonymous? You could have had a whole group of Free Staters or Liberty activists go down to that IRS agent's office and really make his life unusual.
They love that.
Bring some things into his life that he did not ever expect to happen when he sent out that threat.
They're not used to being able to work in the dark,
yes.
Secretively, quietly, and not feel accountable at all for the bad things that they're doing. So when we shine a light on them, when we bring a crowd in there, when we have lots of people with cameras, we blog it, we YouTube it, and that makes them very uncomfortable.
So I think that would be one way that things could have been different, and who knows what the activists would come up with. One of the guys here in Keene, Sam Robrin on the forums, pointed something out recently that I thought was incredibly original. I mean, it wasn't original, but I'd never heard of it before, so it was original to me. He said that back in the old days, you know, back in the day when people would bring guns in the state house here in New Hampshire and shoot them if they disagreed with what was going on in the state assembly, in that kind of times, if the state were to go after somebody for like non-payment of taxes or whatever they wanted to go after you for, to take your house, for instance, if they wanted to do a tax sale on your home and sell it to somebody else right out from under you, which is essentially what they will do if you don't pay their taxes, they'll just sell your home out from under you. He said that back in the old days, people would go in with their guns on their hips. They would go into the tax sale, a group of them, essentially, so the victim who was having his house sold would have his friends all go into the tax sale, and they'd all stand around and basically intimidate anybody else from bidding on the property.
Mm.
So then the individual who it was that was having his house tax sale would be the only one who would bid on the sale, and he'd be able to win it for like 5 cents or something like that.
That's what we ought to do.
So I think that's an awesome idea, and it's one of those things that's only possible when you have the numbers, when you have the amount of people that are behind you that we have here in New Hampshire, and that we're having more of every month. It's pretty cool. So we'll start to see more of those ideas pouring out and more people trying new things, things that have never been tried before in the history of the Liberty Movement, simply because we haven't had enough people to do these things before. It's pretty cool. All right, let's continue with your phone calls. Dorian is on the line in New Jersey. Dorian, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hi, I just want to say I'm a huge fan of the show.
Welcome, sir.
And first of all, I wanted to ask you, what brand are your headphones? I've actually been looking for a pair.
I use the Sony's. I just actually got a new pair, the Sony MDR-V900, which is a fairly expensive headphone. It's like $150 brand new. I ended up picking up these for $110 on, I think it was Amazon. It was one of the used ones that was being sold on Amazon. You've got the V600, Dale. They're a $70 set brand new. I've used the ones that Dale has on for... I had my first pair lasted me for 9 years. They were such a great pair of headphones. The actual headphones still work, or still worked when I decided to stop using them. What actually broke was the mechanical foldy thing, because the headphones will fold up so you can put them away in a bag, and the one of the joints in the mechanics actually failed, so the headphones didn't actually fit anymore because of that. But the actual speaker and the headphone itself is still functioning. And so I got another pair of those, and yeah. I think they've been great.
Yeah, I like your headphones too. I've used them, you know, when you've been away, and my ears are big, and I can't use your average set of headphones. I have a pair of Sony's also here in the studio that I haven't used in years. They get used by the co-host generally, and Julia uses them because they smush my ears, and after 3 hours my ears ache. I don't
People say those are the better ones though. They say that's the Sony 7506. I think it's the MDR 7506. People swear by those headphones.
Yeah.
I, for one, can't stand them just because I can't, you know, like you say, my ears are too big.
You know, it might be the clearest, most crisp sound in the world.
Yeah.
If you can't wear them and they're painful, what good is it?
Yes, shopping for headphones is tough, especially online, because if you can't actually try on the headphones, then what are you going to do? Keep paying shipping costs to send them back and forth between your house to try to decide on the right pair. So if you've got big ears and you're looking for comfort, then go with the Sony V600s or V900s.
Use cheap earbuds.
Yeah, Mark just uses. Where'd you get those, Mark?
I find them. People, they're earbuds. I'm of the opinion that if I can get them for free, it would be wrong to spend money on buying a nice set. I look at them all the time. I go to stores and I think I should invest in these. But really, what's the point? I mean, life is good, and I've got cheap earbuds.
Yeah, I mean, they're working for you. You're just the co-host on the show, Mark. So you don't have to monitor all of the things that are going on
and justification.
The various audio levels and things like that. You're not the engineer. Hey, thanks for the call. Good luck with your headphone decisions. 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. You bring up anything. This is Free Talk Live.
With our economy spiraling out of control, living in the soup kitchens may be right around the corner. No one saw the financial collapse of 1929. Many didn't make it, and millions ended up in soup lines, becoming vagrants, begging for food. Unlike 1929, we can see this collapse coming. We have been warned, and right now we have a very small window of opportunity to get food storage into our homes before it's too late.
Too late.
Why is the Canadian government telling their citizens to stock up?
Why?
And why are soldiers calling home telling their families to get food storage?
Supplies are running low.
Having food storage today may be just as important to your family's survival as boarding the Ark was in the days of Noah. Order right now and receive free shipping on all one-year supplies. Go to yourfoodstorage.com. That's yourfoodstorage.com. Or call 877-482-FOOD. That's 877-482-FOOD today.
I'm Todd Davis, CEO of LifeLock, and what I'm about to tell you is true. My real Social Security number is 457-55-5462. You may think I'm crazy, but I know my identity is safe. At LifeLock, every member is covered by our $1 million total service guarantee.
Every 3 seconds, someone's identity is stolen. It's not just the money that's being stolen. It's your reputation, your credit, and your valuable time to fix the huge mess. At LifeLock, we aim to prevent identity theft before it happens. And if anything happens happens while you're a client of LifeLock, you'll be protected by our exclusive $1 million total service guarantee. With LifeLock, you'll also see a huge reduction in junk mail and pre-approved credit offers. Call 1-800-605-4229 right now and get 30 days of LifeLock for free. Protect yourself and your family from identity theft. And when you call right now, get 30 days free. Call now, 1-800-605-4229. That's 1-800-605-4229. Again, 1-800-605-4229.
Do you have more than $25,000 in credit card debt? Would you like to be out of debt in just 90 days using a system with proven and guaranteed results for over 15 years? Would you like to stop any mortgage foreclosure and have a written guarantee that would make most attorneys scream? Hi, I'm John Galea, the author of Winning the Collection Game and founder of Zero Debt in 90 Days. My Zero Debt Expert System has helped tens of thousands of people.
My wife was really skeptical, but she liked your written guarantees, and I'm glad we went with the program. Thanks to your system, John, we've got a fresh start and are debt-free, and it only took a few months.
And you don't need an attorney to get the benefits of my proven system. In fact, you can keep your cash. No need to negotiate with creditors or pay a percentage of your debt. Call my experts today at 800-477-9256 and ask for free information on how you can be debt-free in 90 days without making one payment to any creditor. Or visit ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's 800-477-9256 or ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com.
Worried about the side effects from prescription drugs? Tired of searching for an effective, safe, natural alternative you can trust? Join more than 300,000 people worldwide who trust in Native Remedies. Our market-leading natural remedies are manufactured using the highest quality ingredients in FDA-registered facilities. We only use whole herbs and never use chemicals, giving you superior effectiveness and safety without side effects. With over 250 herbal and homeopathic remedies, you'll find products for your entire family, even your pets. Address issues like concentration, stress, mood, sleep, pregnancy, memory, joint support, digestion, cold and flu, sexual performance, and much more. And all Native Remedies products come with a one-year unconditional money-back guarantee. For a limited time, visit NoDrugsPlease.com, enter coupon code RADIO, and receive $5 off your order. Purchase two items and receive a third absolutely free. Visit NoDrugsPlease.com or call 1-877-289-1235. 1-877-289-1235 today.
Are you tired of searching for Freak Talk Radio? Well, search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
This is Free Talk Live. You dial toll free. Bring up what you want. 800-259-9231. That is the SACL CAI toll free line. And it's Ian here with you.
And Dale.
And Mark.
You can join us online at freetalklive.com. The features there are completely free. And the other another place you're going to find some free stuff is over at Dale's website, anarchyinyourhead.com. Cartoons available twice fresh per week, posted up there at anarchyinyourhead.com. Plus some occasionally biting commentary by our very own Dale at anarchyinyourhead.com.
The Institute for Humane Studies is offering 12 different seminars this summer in locations across the country. Participation, free. And the IHS covers meals and housing. Seminars are for those simply curious about libertarian philosophy, to those who are passionate about liberty, even those who want career advice, networking opportunities, and lectures relevant to each career path. Hey, how about that? Libertarian career. I could look at that since I'm only the co-host around here. LibertarianSeminars.com. Register today. Deadline is March the 31st. It's LibertarianSeminars.com.
Mark, we're all only co-hosts. It's just that I'm the co-host that does all the monitoring of the audio quality of the show. So I've got to have good headphones. We're talking about headphones. That's all.
I'm only the co-host with talent. What difference does it make?
All right. So we continue here. Alex is on the line in New Jersey. Alex, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hey, going great.
All right. So let's say that you're on the sea in the open ocean. And you have your boat, it's your private property and everything. You come across some two guys who are stranded on a dinghy, and you decide to rescue them because their ship sank.
Okay.
So you let them come onto your boat, and you say to them, listen, there's one rule on my boat. You do not go downstairs into the ammunition room because it's a volatile place where, you know, there's a lot of ways for the boat to blow up. Because you have munitions in there.
Okay? Yeah, sounds like a reasonable rule.
Now, you say to that guy explicitly he's not allowed in there. And later, you find that guy down in that room smoking a cigarette.
Oh, dear.
You decide that he is not welcome on your property anymore. and you decide to throw him off the boat.
Walk the plank.
Have you murdered him?
Well, no.
Because he would certainly die in the ocean.
It's an interesting little conundrum you give. What about the dinghy? Did you not tow that thing along with you? It would seem silly to throw away a perfectly good dinghy. Was the dinghy full of holes when you found them?
Excuse me?
Was the dinghy full of holes when I found them, or did I tow the dinghy along? Was the dinghy inflatable?
For sake of debate, it's not usable anymore.
Just
throw his body out onto the water.
Well, wait. What if the dinghy was still there? Let's presume you're not in a shipping channel and no one would come by. He might still starve to death in the dinghy, so he might die anyway, even if you have the dinghy.
Yeah, but it's a big step from saying, you know, I'm putting you back on your dinghy the way I found you, here you are, to you're jumping off, and I don't know what's going to happen to you after you leave the plank.
Yeah.
Maybe you'll hit the water and drown, or maybe you won't. I think that there's a difference there, and one has to, you know, like it one scenario has gotten significantly more absurd when one says that the dinghy is no longer usable. I suppose they could be floating on some flotsam or jetsam.
It would be fair to give him his dinghy back if you did have the dinghy for certain. But we're saying that the dinghy was ruined.
The dinghy was destroyed in some kind of hurricane somehow.
Yeah, freak accident. So yeah. It's a good question. What do you think, Dale? Is the guy committing murder?
I don't really think. I don't think you can call it murder. What if there's only a certain amount of food? Let's say there's only enough food for two people until you can get to port, and or water. Let's say because you can die much quicker from dehydration. Let's say there's only enough water for two people, and there are three people on board, and you keep enough for yourself and say some other passenger who is on board besides the person you rescued. Are you murdering them by not providing them the water that would kill yourself if you gave it to them? And you're not killing them. The boat is keeping them alive.
Right, you have
don't
no
have
obligation.
You had no obligation to rescue
them.
We're
also
place.
Falling into his trap here. Like, you know, when given one or two choices, you should really look for the other choices.
These bizarre setups are
right.
always...
They're disaster for libertarians because this is how they're shown to be cruel and heartless. Mm. And my other question for you, Alex, is does my boat have no life raft?
Yes, it would have a life raft because I think
only
that
one?
Most people would think it would be smart to have one.
Only or one?
It would have however many people you have on board. It's up to you to decide how many you think you should have.
If I have an extra life raft, I think it's fair to give him the life raft and a certain amount of, food and water since he was on.
But he broke your rules.
Look, man.
You gave him one rule when he came on that boat and he broke it.
Yes.
Presuming he spoke English and understood the rule, then I think you're totally justified.
He could have blown us all up by smoking in the munitions room.
And so I should kill him?
Well, you want to send him off with
one of my mini life rafts?
And you want to send him off with your provisions?
The question he's asking again is not should you kick him off, but if you did decide to kick him off, would it be murder?
I say no.
I wouldn't say.
Because murder has to do with actually killing somebody. In his case, he would drown, and you wouldn't have done it. You would not have caused that.
Well, what about some kind of punishment when you get on land, some kind of restitution? What about those options, Alex?
Well, that's certainly available, and I certainly wouldn't throw the guy overboard. Maybe I would put him in the brig or something and try to get restitution for that. But because, that's just how I am. But
So where were you going with this? There was somewhere you were going, right?
Well, all I'm saying, it's just a hypothetical idea to think about, because if we're going to do seasteading, we're going to have to be able in the future, humanity. If we're going to do seasteading, then we're going to have to figure out, I can't kick someone off my property on land as I do on sea, because if I kick them off on sea, they're just as good as dead because the sharks will get them.
Seasteading, for those that don't know,
will get them.
is that people
The government
are,
is far more dangerous than sharks.
People are planning to build platforms out in the middle of the ocean and set up their own little societies on them, and it's a very expensive plan at the moment. Hopefully it'll become a reality, but it doesn't look like it's on the horizon, at least in the anytime near future. But so you're really thinking hard about what seasteading is going to be like and how to deal with people. If you contract for something as far as going out onto one of these seasteading platforms, you contract to say, okay, I'm willing to come out and work on this platform or come out and live here, you're going to probably have to sign some sort of an agreement. And if you violate the terms of that agreement, it will be set out likely in advance what the punishment will be. Like, okay, you violated the terms of this agreement, you lose your security deposit, and that security deposit goes to pay for the gasoline that it takes to put you on a helicopter and fly you back to the mainland. So I think that stuff will be taken care of.
A lot of the thing with seasteading, too, is you would own a portion of the actual platform that you're on, and they can separate. The idea is it's separable, so it can be separated from the rest, and, you know, there's...
You're not going to have time to negotiate a contract if you find the guy clinging to life at the end of a dinghy. You know what I mean? You can't. You're not going to sit down and say, "Here, sign this before I let you on the boat." You probably couldn't.
But how is this? How is this a new problem? I mean, is this not something that I don't know. I think it's a little bit of all the things I would worry about with seasteading. That would be one of them.
Some guy randomly coming up to
a new problem. The people are out in the sea now on boats and. You know, and they could find someone, and I don't really understand how this is something specifically related to seasteading. If anything, it would be less of a problem, because there's just more resources on seasteading. If anything, they probably have somewhere they could put the person until they could, to keep them out of dangerous cargo holds full of ammunition.
Yeah, they could be given a choice. They could be you could bring the guy in the dinghy could show up at the seasteading platform and they could say, "Hey, look, you know, we don't mind having you walking around, hanging out here on our wonderful little sea platform. Go enjoy all the restaurants and enjoy all of the things that we have here, but you're just going to have to sign this agreement. Otherwise, we're going to have to put you in that quarantine room over there and we'll ship you out the next time that one of our food transports arrives or something like that."
Or call the American ambassador and say, "Do you want to send someone to get this guy?" Or
yeah, something. I think it would all be taken care of. Alex, any other thoughts
first
tonight?
First thing to do is take away his cigarettes.
No, thank you very much for the elaborate discussion. I appreciate it.
All right, thank you, sir. 800. See, I thought he was trying to trap us, too. I thought he was going somewhere to then, "Oh, well, if you think that's not murder, then what about this?"
Yeah. All right. Well, he didn't trap us. There's somebody out there that considers you a murderer.
I would say principles are sound and consistent. Their application in reality is inevitably fuzzy.
Well, if I'm a murderer for making the guy walk the plank for breaking the rules on the ship, would I also be a murderer for just saying, "No thanks, we don't want you," to the guy in the dinghy? Does that make me a murderer too? 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line, and this is Free Talk Live.
You ever have one of those days where everything goes right? First, I get the best parking space at work. Tonight, I have a date with the very lovely Rachel. And today, I gave a killer presentation in Sydney, finalized a contract in London, and demoed our new product in Boston. Online, from my desk, with WebEx. WebEx lets me take meetings and give presentations from my desk. I just talk to clients on the phone, and they watch what's happening on my desktop from their desktop. So I can travel the world and still be here for my date tonight with Rachel.
Travel less, meet online. Go to WebEx.com and try WebEx free. Just click the radio graphic and enter promo code 600 to get a free trial and a free webcam, too. Remember that code, 600, to qualify for the free webcam. WebEx, now part of Cisco and used by more than 5.5 million people every month. Give it a try, free. Go to WebEx.com and enter the promo code 600. WebEx.com. Free webcams available while supplies last. Terms and restrictions apply. See website for details.
Gardeners, you have the seeds. Now let us help you create the ultimate garden. And whether or not you've got good soil, we've got just the solution. AgGrand Liquid Organic Fertilizer at liquidorganicfertilizer.com. Restore life to your soil or apply directly to the crop. Visit liquidorganicfertilizer.com. Fuller feeding with our 4-3-3 or sulfate of potash with kelp is 20 times more efficient than applying amendments to the soil. Manhattan fish, blood meal, potash, and North Atlantic kelp are combined with 10 micronutrients, as well as vitamins and amino acids for max results. You have the seeds. Now you need the fertilizer. Call 1-800-579-0580. That's 1-800-579-0580. Or visit liquidorganicfertilizer.com. Enhance and protect your garden now with natural organic fertilizer. Low cost and increases hay yields too. That's liquidorganicfertilizer.com. For sale in Canada too.
With food prices soaring to all-time highs, as the dollar continues to fall in value, what can you and your family do to guarantee that fresh, nutritious vegetables will make it to your dinner table? Garden in a Can. Garden in a Can is your source for premium, long-term storable seeds. Garden in a Can is ready when you are. Plant them now or store them for when you really need them. There are 16 large, hermetically sealed, non-hybrid, open-pollinated packets of seeds, along with detailed planting instructions sealed in a can for ultimate long-term protection. Garden in a Can. It's that simple. Fresh, healthy, easy. Only $69.95 for over a half acre of safe, fresh vegetables. Ready when you are. Stop procrastinating and start preparing with Garden in a Can. For more details, visit GardenInACan.com today. That's GardenInACan.com or call 866-598-7396, 866-598-7396.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231 and log on at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live. It's your show. You dial toll-free. Bring up anything. Even in these remaining moments, we'll try to sneak you in. 1-800-259-9231. That is the SACL CAI toll-free line, and it's Ian here with you.
And Dale.
And Mark, you can join us online at freetalklive.com. All the features we give away, so enjoy those. Again, freetalklive.com. You like the show? You want to help support Free Talk Live? You can do that by becoming a Free Talk Live amplifier for as little as $3 a month. We take that money in and reinvest it into the show, getting on more radio stations around the country, bringing more internet listeners on board, and helping expose new people to the ideas of freedom. So if that's valuable to you and you want to get perks like the AmpOnly call-in lines, you just heard Alex on one of them. We've also got the AmpOnly chat room and forum. All of the details. Get signed up. It's all at amp.freetalklive.com. Again, that's amp.freetalklive.com. Continuing with your phone calls, let's talk to Steve in South Carolina. Steve, you're on Free Talk Live with Ian, Dale, and Mark.
Hey, guys.
Steve, what's on your mind?
Oh, well, I was just thinking about the hypothetical. I mean, if it's a colony and they have a magistrate and they've come up with a rules for survival, I mean, they could put them in a stockade. They could put them in blocks. I mean,
we're talking, just to bring our listeners up to speed, you're talking about a scenario involving a guy in a dinghy approaching either a ship or some sort of a colony on the water, and he comes on and breaks a rule. What do you do? If you throw him off, is that murder? That was the original question. That's what you're commenting on.
Correct. And, I mean, there is a penalty involved. I mean, you've broken a rule that was explicitly expressed to you, do not do. So, I mean, it just depends at that point. Does the society in that colony, with a magistrate or somebody they appointed to be the overseer of justice, I mean, can he, like, if he's smoking cigarettes, they can do like they do in the Muslim countries. They can just cut off his hand. It's going to be hard smoking cigarettes with his feet.
I get where you're coming from. And most Americans find the idea that people getting their hand cut off for stealing a loaf of bread to be reprehensible. And
if you stay, we cut your hand off, or you can go.
Well, you know, there's those options. But, you know, this is where we get to the extreme. And I think that, you know, libertarians can fall into this trap of, you know, personal property is everything. And I often use the example, well, what about a little girl that comes onto some guy's property to pick flowers? Is he allowed to shoot her because he's an old, cranky, nasty, crazy old man? Is that all right?
I wouldn't think so, because she's innocent and she doesn't know the rules or even understand them.
It's either his property or it's not, man.
Well, but the point is, I mean, she doesn't know that. As an adult, she would know that, but not as a child.
Hey, look, the guy that was smoking the cigarette in the ammunition room didn't know that you were going to kick him off for smoking a cigarette in the ammunition room.
He may have known that. They may have made that very explicitly clear.
He may not have believed that it was actually going to happen.
Whatever you decide to do, you're going to be judged by other people. I mean, there are going to be consequences for whatever you decide to do. I mean, people can ostracize anyone for any reason, and if that's the primary form of punishment, then if you decide to shoot some little girl who walks on your property accidentally not knowing the rules, then I think you're going to face ostracism. I mean,
big time.
It doesn't matter what you can proclaim, like I've seen on the forum, some of the real hardcore property rights, you can proclaim that you have a right to do that. Well, fine, do it and then see what happens, because you're going to see some serious consequences.
But the point is, is trespassing worth death? I mean, you have to.
I don't think so. I think not, and I think most people would not. I don't think most people would find that acceptable. And that's what you're essentially. You'd essentially, in a free society, you'd be judged by your entire community. You wouldn't be judged by some arbitrary authority figure who's.
You'd be judged by your entire community while you were hanging on a rope. While you were tarred and feathered, and that's really the problem with a lot of free market justice that, people, that's what they hear, is that we get back to the idea of lynch mobs. And really, the judicial system currently today is meant to protect the perpetrator, not so much the victims.
Okay, so what we're saying is there has to be someone or a group of authoritarians that will dole out justice. Because if not, then you end up with a mob attitude, and everybody just goes insane and just starts tar and feathering people for no reason.
Who said that? Mark's saying that, I think.
I don't know that I'm saying that necessarily either. I think that
might be the idea. I just think that the government justice, the arbitrary authority, is worse than the possibility of a lynch mob.
But a community has to set down a certain amount of basic understanding and rights of what is moral and what is not. So if the girl walks on the property and decides to rape her, yeah, what's the penalty for that? She was on my property.
I see the problems here. This is one of the reasons that I have a problem with free market justice. I think that there's going to be these cases, there's going to be these nutballs that try to push the limits of what the system can handle. I think that by and large, individuals can handle their disputes through an arbitrator very, very well. However, I think that there's certain circumstances where force needs to be applied to someone.
Well, someone may decide to do that. I mean, if it's that bad of a case, then maybe someone will look the other way when force is applied because it's so bad. But I think, again, most of these cases, I mean, I don't think you pick out this one bizarre case and say we're going to institute this arbitrary authority that's going to infringe on our rights constantly because this one bizarre case may come up every now and then. But there's no way to create this perfect society. We don't have it now with the arbitrary authority, and it's not going to be a perfect society without it. The point is that we don't live in that sort of perfect
lynch
world.
Lynch mobs are not arbitrary. Lynch mobs were the way things were before we had police, essentially. That's one of the reasons for them.
Radical, undisciplined, chaotic group of people who get together and decide, this is what it's going to be with pitchforks and torches. But the thing is there has to be a foundation set, not a foundation of rules, but just a foundation of morality that says, okay, this is what is allowed and this is what is not allowed. And everybody, you have this in your own home, Mark. You're like, this is what's allowed, this was not allowed. If you're going to go off on me, you're going to hit the street.
Well, I agree with you. I think that foundation would be set by each individual property owner, and they would all decide individually how to set the rules on their property, and inevitably, over a wide swath of different properties, there are going to be some similar rules, and some might be different.
And they're going to be community standards as well.
Right.
Those kinds of things happen. Those kinds of things evolve.
Then you're going to have this huge book that's probably about, a foot or two thick about everybody's different property rules, and you make sure that you know all the laws.
That's so
silly.
Are
you familiar with
New
Hampshire law and how thick it is?
But first of all,
millions of words?
You're right, Dale. That's the truth. But it's also silly to believe that there's going to be this huge compendium of everybody's laws and rules on their own private property. When you go into Burger King, there are certain signs on the front door that may enumerate a specific behavior that is or is not appropriate in their particular business place. I'm sorry, what?
no shirt, no shoes, no service.
Okay, that's one of them. Yeah.
Of course, that's the law, actually.
Right, or there may be some stores like a bookstore or some other place may not want you bringing drinks in there or whatever. In many cases, the big rules that you need to follow are right there on the front door. You don't have to stop in at the customer service desk and get a list of the rules.
Most of them are understood because they're community standards. They're just understood. It's like how to purchase things. You know that when you walk into a store, you can't just walk out with items in the store. That's not put up on signs anywhere. That's just something people know because it's a community standard. And that continues on in a voluntary society. Most of our society now is voluntary. It's just this criminal element which is claimed by these authoritarian governments. So
you know not to kill somebody. I mean, but you'll never know all the specific rules that are written by the government about, you know, these little idiosyncrasies that they have about certain little things. And that's my whole point. There has to be just a general foundation with an overview that everybody agrees to. And it's like, you know, we know we don't murder anybody and we know that we don't steal. I mean, but like you guys have always said in your commercials, there's no way you're ever going to know all the laws.
Yeah, you can't, and that's one of the problems with the system that we have today, and I think that the foundation you're looking for is going to be there because in the marketplace, that's what people want. They want something that's easy to understand. They want a system that makes sense. They want a system that it works, and the marketplace is the only entity that can bring that into play. The government can't because all they can do is just keep piling rule upon rule after rule and, you know, modifying them and expanding them, and it gets to the point where it's so unwieldy, nobody has any idea what the rules are, including the enforcers themselves. I mean, there was a quote in the newspaper by a cop who was talking about parking meters being fed by people. He said he didn't know if it was illegal. I mean, he was being quoted in the newspaper. He didn't even bother to do the research to find out.
Yeah, and the cop that pulled over Mike Varsky, and he ended up going to court for having a concealed weapon in his car, which he didn't actually do. The cop admitted himself he didn't know the gun laws. He had to go back to the police space and look it up.
Steve, we're out of time. I thank you for the call tonight. I think the lynch mob objection seems like a valid objection on its face, but we also have to remember that in order to get to a situation where we have a no-governmental situation, the authoritarian government is gone, we have to evolve to the point where we understand what all that means to where we can actually embrace those ideas on a much larger scale than we currently are today in society. And I think that kind of change would go a long way to eliminating the lynch mob problem. Plus, people also defend themselves. We'll see you tomorrow night.
The IRS is skimming the wealth of the American people for the Wall Street bankers. Taxpayers are being raked over the coals and forced to pay for bailout after bailout. First we went after the Fed, now we're going after the Internal Revenue Service. On April 15th, the Republic strikes back. Every zip code, every post office, nationwide, one purpose, show me the law. Visit showmethelaw.org and sign up today to get involved. Action groups are forming now, everystoreoftherepublic.net. Join us in this national grassroots action to end the federal income tax. On April 15th, the Republic strikes back.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.